Well, I greet you today in Jesus' name. Thank you for calling in. This is Steve Clark, and today we're going to be reading Psalms 19. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalms 19. And yesterday, I think, we would have had Psalms 11, and the day before, we would have had Psalms 33. This week, I'm just going to be going through a few of the Psalms, a few of my favorites. I actually have several that are my favorites, and just going to be going through those and talking about them a little bit. And the Psalms are very much inspirational. We call this the daily inspiration. And Psalms are very much inspirational to us, as I'm sure you probably realize as you read the Psalms. And this one is no exception, Psalms 19. We need the devotional passion of the Psalms. There's many practical things in, like, say, the book of Proverbs, different places in the Bible, very practical. The Psalms are packed full of devotion, devotional passion, and we need that in our lives. And I have been reading through the Psalms here recently, and I am just blessed every time I read the Psalms. So today, Psalms 19, it starts off, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So, saying the heavens, the stars and the galaxies and the moon and the sun, they all declare the glory of God. They're shouting out God's glory and his handiwork. And as I was thinking about that, you know, we have some very excellent cabinet makers, craftsmen in that way. We have people that maybe are good rock masons. We have people that can do amazing things, carvings and different things like that that are just beautiful to look at. And even, I guess like Mount Rushmore, where, you know, they've carved the heads of the presidents in the stone. But God, in his wisdom, created all the stars and all the galaxies, the planets and the sun and the moon, and it all speaks of his handiwork. And recently, my wife and I, we took a trip across the United States, and we camped along the way, just camping in a tent in state parks and different places, and just had our little tent. And oftentimes we'd look up at the stars and just see the beauty of the stars and all the, there's just no way you could count them. There's just so many in the sky, and we'd see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and it was a beautiful trip and a beautiful sight to see God's handiwork. Well, in verse 2 it says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And it's talking about God's handiwork in the stars, in his creation of the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and all the galaxies and the Milky Way and all these different things that we look up in the sky, that they are uttering speech, that they are talking to people, that they are showing the handiwork of God, that there is a creator, that there is a God that has made all things. And in the night, it is speaking out knowledge, it says. Verse 3, it says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." They don't need to know the stars and the moon and the galaxies. They don't need to know English or Chinese or Spanish or any other language to be able to preach their message of God's glory and of his handiwork. Verse 4, "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." So here, it's every part of the world sees God's handiwork. It's not hidden from any part, whether they're up in the North Pole or in the South Pole or at the equator. We can see the handiwork of God and they all speak of God's glory. And in them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So talking about the sun, how it faithfully comes up every morning and goes down at nighttime. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and is a strong man that runs a race. It's faithful, and it's there's nothing hid from the heat of the sun. Verse 7, it changes a little bit here. It's starting to talk about the law of the Lord, or about the Bible, about the commandments of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, you know, I skipped a couple of verses. I want to, that's right. It's going forth is from the ends of the heaven and a circuit under the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So it's talking about these six things: the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. And they all have a ministry. They make us clean. They make us, they are sure. They enlighten our eyes, all these different things. And it says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. We should desire God's word more than going to work. More, not saying that we shouldn't go to work, but we should have a desire for God's word. And if we don't, there's something wrong. If we'd rather read the Lancaster Farming, or we'd rather read the newspaper, or we'd rather read the Fish Wrapper or some other thing, if that excites us or delights us more than the word of God, there is something desperately wrong, something terribly wrong. More to be desired than gold is what God's word should be to our hearts. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. And that's the way it should be for each Christian. And one of the purposes of God's word is to warn us. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, what a beautiful psalm. Well, verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? And it's talking about me, myself. Can I really understand my sins? Can I really understand my errors? And the prayer is, cleanse thou me from secret faults. I might not even realize all the sin that is still there within me. And that's why we need to pray, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, or arrogant or prideful sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And what a good prayer, those last four verses, 12, 13, and 14, three verses, I guess. what a great prayer for us to pray, and really pray it from our hearts, that cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So what a beautiful psalm. I hope that inspired you today, challenged you, encouraged you, convicted you even, and that it would produce fruit in your life. It would draw you closer to the God who loves you, who cares about you, who wants the best for you, and loves you more than any person on this earth. He loves you and cares for you. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And Lord willing, we'll go through another psalm tomorrow. Thank you.